Let's find out how Rebecca Davis feels about the situation. Journalist and author at Daily Maverick and host of the Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. She's always got very strong opinions about these kind of things and has written in great detail about the Palapala saga over the past few months. Rebecca, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Amy, I feel so sorry for you being on duty at this particular afternoon, but everything I've heard today is you've been absolutely crushing it out there. I just wonder if John is listening to this with schadenfreude or with regret, some kind of FOMO. We know how journalists and media people are.
You're incredibly kind, Rebecca. And can I just say that if I'd had a spare minute before the show, in the chaos before the show, I would have sent John a message and said, how could you do this to me? Come back in now.
This is what happens when he steps away. Complete chaos for the country. Amy, what a day. Honestly, I just feel like we haven't even taken a breath collectively to really note what's going on, because as always, these things just come at you. It's not just the Palapala Section 89 report. It's also the release of the top 10 of the ANC's NEC. I mean, just some shockers in there. The fact that Malusi Gigaba is number one on the ANC's NEC list. That is the seventh most important position in the ANC, which it really seems like what we're seeing is this resurgence of forces who were sidelined during the Ramaphosa presidency. And obviously there are, I think, many people who will be feeling very unnerved by that, myself in particular. Amy, I haven't yet had time to read through the full Section 89 report, so I thought what we could discuss that would perhaps be helpful, because I've just been looking into it, is what on earth actually happens if Ramaphosa does resign. I'm not sure whether you've already been over this in detail.
No, we haven't been over it in detail. And I think the overwhelming sentiment of Cape Talk listeners at this point, Rebecca, is, well, actually, it would be better if he stayed because the alternatives are dreadful.
Right. So first of all, I think it's important to say, as you have as well, that there is absolutely no guarantee that he will step down. There is feverish speculation whizzing in all directions. And important to note that political rumors are not neutral, right? Everyone spreading them has an agenda. So the people who are shouting the loudest that Ramaphosa will resign might very well be the people who have most to gain if he does resign. So let's absolutely not put the cart before the horse. No one has stepped down at this stage. If he does, though, I mean, for political wonks, it does represent a kind of intriguing situation, Amy. Because as my colleague Marianne Merton, who I'm so thankful for in situations like this, because she's just a walking encyclopedia, as she reminded me, this situation has actually never occurred in South Africa before. And what I mean is a president voluntarily resigning before having been recalled by the party. So we had Thabo Mbeki in 2008. We had Jacob Zuma in 2018. Both of them stepped down, but they first lost the confidence of the ANC. They first were recalled by the party. That hasn't happened to Cyril Ramaphosa. If he steps down now, if he makes an announcement today, for instance, that will be completely on his own accord without the party having given him any particular mandate in either direction. That presents a really interesting situation, because actually there's nothing in the Constitution that says how that situation should be dealt with. We assume that his deputy would, for the time being, assume the presidency, right? So that would be David Didi Mabuza. Now, there's lots of reasons why that particular prospect makes people feel a little iffy. One is, you know, Mabuza's own history in Mpumalanga is checkered, to say the least. There's also the fact that if David Mabuza is sworn in as president, even if it is briefly, he will have all the rights and responsibilities and powers of an ordinary president, which is to say he could carry out a full cabinet reshuffle, for instance. We don't know at this stage if the balance of forces in the ANC would actually support a David Mabuza presidency, and there's some suggestion that they would not. You can see from his position on the NEC list, for instance, he's so far down. He's not even in the top 100. This is not a man who commands a lot of support within the ANC currently. But let's say Mashatile is sworn in as president. David Mabuza is sworn in as president. Parliament has to meet. He has to be voted on by the National Assembly, for which the ANC caucus, which commands the majority, obviously would carry it over the line. The Chief Justice would swear him in. But Amy, the other problem is, of course, that Ramaphosa wears two hats. He's not just president of the country, he's also president of the ANC. And whenever we're discussing these kind of situations, the two tend to get conflated. They're actually completely separate. So 2 weeks' time, the ANC goes to Nasrec to elect their president. If Ramaphosa does not contest there, it presents a whole different problem, because it's entirely possible that David Mabuza could be serving as the country's president while someone completely different is elected at NASREC as the ANC president. And this is not an ideal situation. It's actually the situation that led to Zuma's resignation, because the ANC does not want to have two centers of power for obvious reasons. Mm. I mean, the thought of a state president and an ANC president jockeying over power is not great. There's so much up in the air at the moment. It's a really interesting time. But I have to say, Amy, I am with those of your listeners who feel, you know, a great sense of sadness and worry at this moment. I think it is beyond regrettable that things have played out in this manner. And I have to admit, there is part of me that hopes that Ramaphosa stays around and fights for his position. The problem is, as we've seen from his presidency thus far, he does not often seem to have that fighting spirit when most he needs it.
Rebecca, you know, last night when this report was made public, I nearly fell off my couch, because I too had really thought he's the good guy. It's going to be fine. It's not going to be all bad about him in this report. Honestly, I was completely stunned.
It's a bit flabbergasting. And there are parts of the report, as I understand it, which are questionable. For instance, the report really takes it on faith, the actions of the former intelligence chief Arthur Fraser, who is, of course, the person who set this all in motion. It says, for instance, that it assumes Arthur Fraser would be willing to share his sources on the matter if all of this came to pass, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, it assumes good faith on the part of Arthur Fraser that many of us feel is not warranted in the slightest. But at the same time, I also hear that in law it is pretty sound, that the chances of it being legally challenged successfully, are not high. And, you know, ultimately we have to say many of us respect, even like, the president, but he certainly has not played open cards about Palapala, and this is the end result of that. And though the consequences may be regrettable, maybe damaging hugely for himself and for the thing, the actions have been his own, and really he does have no one to blame but himself in that regard.
Rebecca, one last thing before we let you go. I mean, surely the president by now knows what he's doing. Why this delay? Why are they dragging out this announcement? The economy is tanking in the meanwhile.
I assume he's consulting with quite a lot of stakeholders here. You know, there will be people within the ANC, there will be people outside the ANC, business, for instance, who will be very strongly pleading with him, I'm betting, that he must please stay. I'm sure that he is trying to figure out the balance of power in the ANC caucus in Parliament, for instance. Can he brazen this out? What would it look like if he brazened this out? That's the other thing. Even if he could be assured of the ANC supporting him in Parliament to the extent that they could block an impeachment process, or that they could block a vote of no confidence, what does that say about Ramaphosa, who up till this point has staked his entire presidency on keen governance? You know, it's just the options are really few and they are really poor. And I'm quite glad that he's not at least acting in haste. You know, this is not a simple decision. It's one that all of us have a lot riding on. So as far as I'm concerned, the longer he takes, the better.
Rebecca, I don't know about you. I mentioned this a couple of minutes ago. I just want to go home and pull a blanket over my head.
Spot on.
Thank you very much, as always, for that analysis and insight. That's Rebecca Davis, author and journalist at the Daily Maverick.